Here's my conversation with Mark Neese. He is the Georgia government reporter for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. Just before the show, he had a few minutes for us, and we're talking about that most interesting governor's race down there.
Well, I have been on this job since last December. I've been primarily covering the race from the perspective of elections and democracy rather than the candidates individually, but looking at the execution of how democracy is done in Georgia and whether all votes will be counted and voting security and potential for tampering and voters being removed from the rolls and difficulties casting votes.
I guess the preservation of democracy can be seen both ways in this case, right? That is, if people are voting who should not be, then that's an infringement. Or if people are being denied, then it's an infringement. How do you see it?
Absolutely. It goes both ways on both sides. And here at the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, we had a poll that came out yesterday that showed that Republicans in particular are very concerned about voter fraud and making sure that only people who are eligible to vote are able to vote. And on the other side, a high number of Democrats are concerned about voting access rather than fraud. They're concerned about people being turned away from the polls or that their votes won't be counted.
Do you have a problem or have you with voter fraud?
No. Voter fraud is very rare. There have been isolated cases. There was a case earlier this year where two people who had been convicted of felonies were allowed to vote, and that's not supposed to be allowed in Georgia. And last year, there were 14 canvassers who were referred for potential prosecution for allegedly falsifying or forging voter registration applications, but those cases are still open. No charges were ever brought.
Well, statistically, then, that's nothing.
Voter fraud is very rare. Now, the supporters of Georgia's laws on fraud say, well, the reason fraud is rare is because we have strict laws such as photo ID and list maintenance practices that remove inactive or ineligible voters from the voter rolls. So is the reason we have little voter fraud because Georgia has these laws in place, or is voter fraud just rare altogether? That's kind of a question that's hard to answer.
This race, which is getting national attention, pits your Secretary of State, Brian Kemp, the Republican, against Democrat Stacey Abrams for governor. Tell me a little bit about his role in this.
That Secretary of State, he is in charge of elections oversight. That said, in Georgia, the primary responsibility for elections rests with each of the state's 159 individual counties. So while the Secretary of State does have an oversight role and compiles votes and certifies statewide election totals, a lot of the nitty-gritty administration of elections is done at the local level.
Well, talk to me a little bit about this exact law where the name has to match specifically, and if there's a problem with a letter or a hyphen or an apostrophe, then the voter is ineligible. What's going on there?
There are nearly 47,000 people on Georgia's pending list of voters, people who submitted registration applications to be able to vote, but the registrations haven't been fully processed because there was some error or mismatch with their name or their address or their social security number or their birth date. Last year, Georgia passed this exact match law, which requires that all the information on the registration application match driver's license or social security records. And when there's a mismatch, people aren't eligible to vote until they validate their IDs. So these 47,000 voters are kind of in limbo until they show some proof of identification that matches social security or driver's license information.
What will those people do this week? And what happens if they haven't rectified this on Election Day?
Well, on Election Day, you can show a Georgia ID or driver's license, and you'll become an active voter and able to cast a regular vote ballot if your photo ID substantially matches what is on file with government records. So that's the primary remedy that will help most people. If you have a driver's license and you tried to register to vote and election officials believe that your driver's license matches your registration information, that should clear up the issue. But there are others that probably will have issues, and it's impossible to know how many, but one example is U.S. citizens who have became citizens in the last few years, but driver's license records haven't been updated to show that they're now citizens.
Do you think, though, all right, but I'm going to imagine that that's a much smaller number, that the bulk of the 47,000, I know a lot of people who are first-time registrants don't have a driver's license, and it may be complicated for them, but I would assume more than half of them, say, would be able to resolve that at the polling place?
If they are actually Georgia residents and they do have photo ID, they should be able to resolve it at the polling place, and it shouldn't be an issue for many of them. Now, if they've moved out of state or if they don't have a photo ID, they could have issues.
Well, you know, I'm just rooting for common sense here. I mean, the whole thing seems so one-sided and so sinister is not the right word, but it seems so manipulative. In Chicago, can you imagine that, Mark? Even in Chicago, people think this is whack, and we don't have the greatest voting reputation up here. But I'm hopeful that it's not as bad as I've been led to believe.
There are always two sides to it. You know, Secretary of State Brian Kemp, who is running for governor, he says what you're saying is exactly right. All you need to do is show your photo ID and you'll be able to vote, which is true of people who are actually eligible voters and who show photo ID and can convince election officials that they are who they say they are, which shouldn't be that hard. The other side to it, from voting rights advocates and the campaign of Democrat Stacey Abrams for governor, says, look, you're trusting local officials to make these decisions. You're holding up registrations. You're telling people that they're pending voters instead of active voters. This might turn off some voters. It might make it harder or discourage them from actually going to the polls. If their registrations haven't been gone through, they might get a message from the government that the government doesn't want them to vote, whether this exact match law is discouraging people from voting or placing hurdles in the way of people voting.
Yeah. Wonder if we'll ever know. I mean, how can you tell? Somebody doesn't show up to vote, you don't know that they were or were not going to vote.
Yes, it is hard. Although we're watching for complaints. You know, I have heard from several voters who say they encountered these issues and had to go through a whole bunch of hassle to get them resolved. Now, for the most part, the people who complain about it are the people who get it resolved, right? The real fear from people concerned about the exact match law is that they're we'll never know about the people who stay home or the people who aren't actively involved in democracy or the political process who might think, I'll vote this election and then run into hurdles and say, oh, forget about it. It isn't worth my trouble.
Oprah Winfrey's only campaigned for two candidates in her life. One was Barack Obama, one Stacey Abrams. Mike Pence was in your state and he said, hey, I'm somebody too. Talk to me a little bit about the sort of national attention this race is getting.
Yesterday, we saw both Pence and Oprah. Oprah was going door to door even and trying to get voters to support Democrat Stacey Abrams. And Pence was saying, well, look, who are you going to believe, Oprah or me? And that's a good question. It might depend who you ask. It's extremely close, according to all the polls. All the polls I've seen are within the margin of error. So it really could go either way. Stacey Abrams herself is not your normal Georgia candidate for governor. You know, she's running as an unabashed liberal. If she wins, she'd become the first African-American governor in any state in the nation.
The president said she's not qualified. She said, I'm a businesswoman and a political leader. I am as qualified as anybody.
Her campaign responded to that. Their response was, well, look, Stacey Abrams has been in office longer than Brian Kemp. She's also an attorney, and she also is a voting rights advocate. She founded an organization in 2013 with the express purpose of registering people to vote. Brian Kemp also has a lot of experience as Secretary of State, and he also has a business background before that, and he was also in the Georgia State Senate.
One last thing then. So speaking of the president, though, he's certainly doing everything he can to help the Republican Party nationwide, ginning up this immigration issue, talking about birthright citizenship. I don't suppose that's what you and I are talking about now, but talk to me about any coattails the president may have down there. Is he helping or hurting the party?
I think he'll help Republican voters. The President Trump, he'll be here in Georgia on Sunday campaigning for Brian Kemp. And we'll see how big of a difference it made. When he campaigned for Kemp in the Republican primary back in the spring, it made a huge difference. It swung the needle from his primary Republican candidate, Lieutenant Governor Casey Cagle, and it became a landslide. Kemp won the Republican primary easily when, before Trump came, it was a pretty close race. Now, the big question will be whether the president will have the same impact in a general election when you're not just appealing to Republicans. In a general election, there will be a lot of Democrats and a lot of independents also casting ballots. And we'll have to see if President Trump has the same pull among a broader base of voters beyond just Republicans.
That's Mark Neese. He is a Georgia government reporter for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. And he's talking about the exact match rule. I just saw a story that moved today, moments ago, I guess. And it says a judge has ruled on the on this particular case, that is, on the exact match rules.